much debated message. Most of you know that the Sunday morning for VBS kickoff, before pandemic, our youth minister would come in and bring us a challenging message to get these kids out here tonight to do the kickoff and get them out here for VBS. Then we had the pandemic hit. Last year, worked out that I ended up bringing the message and I tried to tailor it more toward the kids. I'm not going to do that one today. I want to talk on something that's really heavy on my heart in regards to the world right now. I'm reading and watching and seeing blurbs, TV posts, you name it, all that stuff. People are just walking up to somebody on the subway station and they're just knocking them silly. They are stabbing people in broad daylight, as if it's better at night. But anyway, our United States of America and places around the world are a little bit in chaos. And it looks like it's getting worse. Now, we all know the book of Revelation says, yes, it's going to get worse. But you could apply the book of Revelation to every century there's been. There's an Antichrist in every century. So it's been hard to, what Jesus said, we can't understand it because he doesn't know the day he's returning. But anyway, this world's in some awful chaos. Now, I think what the world needs is love. Does that sound like the title of a song? Now, I'm not going to sing it. In the 1960s and 70s, a lady named Jackie DeShannon burst on the scene and really did some wonderful music. And I ended up, for some reason, with an 8-track. Who knows what an 8-track is? Okay, if you don't know what an 8-track is, don't be ignorant. Go find out, okay? It's an antiquated piece of equipment now. But I had an 8-track with a lot of her songs on it. And one of which she did was What the World Needs Now. And it goes, What the World Needs Now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing there is, just too little love. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. Not just for some, but for everyone. We don't need any more mountains. We don't need any more hillsides. There are oceans and rivers enough to cross, enough to last till the end of the time. So what the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that there is, just too little love. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. No, not just for some, but for everyone. We don't need another meadow. We don't need more cornfields and wheat fields enough to grow. There's sunbeams and moonbeams enough to shine. Oh, listen, Lord, if you want to know what the world needs now is love, sweet love. And it continues that theme on. Some of you are also aware that there was a movie that came out with the same title and used that song. But she did a wonderful job with that song. It climbed the charts, and it was an answer to what was going on in the 60s and 70s of last century. Okay. I'm a product of the 60s and 70s of last century, having been born in 1953. Most of you can do the math, or I can tell who's doing the new math because you'll have a paper out and a pencil and you'll have your columns and all that type stuff. Those of us who learned the old math, you've already figured it out. But it came out in the 60s and 70s. What was going on in America at that time? Well, let me share a few things with you. Birmingham, Alabama, 63. New York City, 64. Watts, 65. Chicago, 66. What was going on? Riots upon riots upon riots. And it was the civil rights movement. The goal of the movement was correct, but the methodology sometimes was lacking. I wish more had listened to Martin Luther King and been more of a peaceful protest instead of some of the violence that showed up. Also going on in that period of time was campus protests, 64, 65. Some of you might remember Berkeley. I mean, it was a bad time. 66, 67, 68, somewhere in that time was the Democratic National Convention. That was a chaos. And how many remember what happened in 1970? Kent State. When I say Kent State, what does that mean to some of you? There were 4 college students shot by National Guardsmen. Chaos had erupted. Civil disturbance training was required of all military. I had basic training when I completed my eight weeks. We then had an extra week for us National Guardsmen, and we did some more basic training in regards to civil disturbance. What the world needed was exactly what she had in that song, was love, sweet love. Now, we're looking for it sometimes in the wrong direction, but that's what they were looking for. Jackie DeShannon also had another song, which is my all-time favorite song. And this one was done a few years later, and it was Think of Your Fellow Man, Lend Him a Helping Hand, Put a Little Love in Your Heart. You see it's getting late, oh please don't hesitate, put a little love in your heart, and the world will be a better place. And the world will be a better place for you and me. You just wait and see. Another day goes by and still the children cry. Put a little love in your heart. If we want the world to know, we won't let hatred go. Put a little love in your heart. And the world will be a better place. And the world will be a better place for you and me. You just wait and see. Take a good look around. And if you're looking down, put a little love in your heart. I hope when you decide, kindness will be your guide. Put a little love in your heart, and the world will be a better place. And it continues on with that theme. Does anybody remember the Billy Jack movies? Now, you kids, who? When? Where? These were movies that popped up in the late 60s and 70s, Billy Jack. The legend of Billy Jack song came out, and Billy Jack was He was good with his hands and feet. You didn't want to mess with him at all. He was working with a group of people who just wanted to practice love and peace. So there was a constant conflict between the star, the girl, and him, the star, the guy. There was a constant conflict because they did not see eye to eye on violence versus peace and love. But he tried his best. And he always got pushed into a situation where he had to come and rescue people and hurt them bad, big bad time. Well, there was a song that came out. It was the Ode to Billy Jack, and it goes like, most of us remember, I remember Cher's version of it. 10 soldiers, oh, I got the wrong one, duh. Listen, children, to a story that was written long ago about a kingdom on a mountain and the valley folk below. On the mountain was a treasure buried deep and beneath the stone, and the valley people swore they'd have it for their very own. Go ahead and hate your neighbor, go ahead and cheat a friend, do it in the name of heaven, you can justify it in the end. There won't be any trumpets blowing come the judgment day. On the bloody morning after, 1 tin soldier rides away. So the people of the valley sent a message up the hill, asking for the buried treasure, tons of gold for which they'd kill. Came an answer from the kingdom with our brothers, we will share all the secrets of our mountain, all the riches buried there. Go ahead and hate your neighbor, go ahead and cheat a friend. Do it in the name of heaven, you can justify it in the end. There won't be any trumpets blowing come the judgment day. On the bloody morning after, 1 tin soldier rides away. Now the valley cried with anger, mount your horses, draw your sword. And they killed the mountain people, so they won their just reward. Now they stood beside the treasure on the mountain dark and red, turned the stone and looked beneath it. Peace on earth was all it said. The 60s and 70s was an era of change. A lot of good change came out of it, but it was a tumultuous, somewhat violent era. People were protesting draft. People were protesting the Vietnam War. People were just protesting because they liked to protest. And then there was also protesting because of civil rights and those type things. A lot of good things came out of it, but it was also a very difficult and very challenging year. It really affected my life a lot because, like I said, I'm a product of that period of time. And wanted to see. I went to all these movies, by the way, that and the Elvis movies. So went to see them, and they just touched your heart. So that era says, okay, we're hurting people, we're killing people in the name of this and the name of that, but what we really need in our hearts is what? It's what we need. So they got the right idea, but they got to get the right source. So today I want to talk about the source. If you'll turn with me to the book of John, chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. This is our Master speaking. Now, if you're not a Christian, this is Jesus. But for those of us that are disciples of Christ, this is our Master. This is our teacher. He's telling us what he wants us to know. Now, he's talking to his disciples right then and there, but he's talking to his disciples down through the years. And he says there in verse 34, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know you that will know that you are my disciples if you do what? If you do what? If you do what? Love one another." That's how they're going to know. Not whether you got the right cause, not whether somebody's going to capitulate to your ideas, browbeat them. No, they're going to know you're my disciples. Jesus, the Master, the Lord, the Savior. Jesus says they're going to know you're my disciples because they're going to notice how you love your brothers and sisters in Christ. They're going to notice that. They can tell. Right now, a lot of times, and I'm all for our rights. I'm all for all the rights that we're afforded to in the Constitution and all that stuff. I'm all for that. But sometimes that's all they see us doing, is arguing for our rights. They're not noticing how much we love one another. All they notice is that we don't like something. We don't want something. But they're not noticing that we love our brothers and sisters in Christ. And we got to get to the point where they really know that we love one another. If you notice, I want you to look at Luke chapter 9, verse 46. Luke chapter 9, verse 46. Do you ever have a disagreement with any brother and sister in Christ? Have you ever had one? All right. Now, in most cases in that disagreement, who was the person in the right? Huh? Well, neither one in the long run, but who did you think was in the right? I haven't had an argument yet where I didn't think I was right. Okay? I mean, whether it be with a brother and sister in Christ or whether it be with my mate at home or with anybody, I wouldn't be arguing with you if I didn't think I was right. So these disciples here get into a situation, Luke chapter 9, verse 46. An argument started among the disciples as to which of them would be the greatest. Okay, when this kingdom gets handed over, when he's gone, I want to be the next guy in charge. Or I want to be second in command and my brother will be first in command. Where are we standing this? I think I should be there. Peter, where do you think you ought to be? John, James, Nathaniel, Matthew, where do you stand in this argument? Who wants to be the next guy? Well, it's got to be me because I have a better voice, or it's got to be me because I'm better with administration. It's got to be me. So an argument breaks out. An argument happens in a lot of places. That happened among Jesus' 12. What is it like to walk along and hear the greatest teacher on planet Earth ever? What is it like to listen to him and just to know the love and know all the peace and all the happiness and notice all that? What is it like to do that? And then you start arguing. That's what they started doing. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. It just wasn't among the ones, that just the 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Starting in verse 10. Paul's writing to the church at Corinth, there in Greece area. And he's writing to them. It's a good large congregation. Paul had spent some considerable time with them. They got firsthand instructions from an apostle. They didn't get it from some guy who heard it from somebody else. They got it straight up. Right? So, as we would say in the old days, right from the horse's mouth. Chapter 1, verse 10. I appeal to you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another so that there be no divisions among you and that you may be perfectly united in mind and thought. My brothers, some from Chloe's household, have informed me that there are quarrels among you. What I mean is one of you says, I follow Paul, while another, I follow Apollos, another, I follow Cephas, and another, I follow Christ. And he continues on with the argument. A group of people here in the church at Corinth, who's trying to win this world for Christ, a group of them there are arguing. Well, my baptism was by so-and-so. My baptism was by such-and-so. I'm more superior to you because of this and that and everything else. It happened with the 12 as they walked with Jesus. It's happened in the churches that are getting established. And if it happened in the first century, when will it occur here? And I don't necessarily mean you have to say on this spot of land. When will it occur in the United States? It's going to occur, right? It's already occurred. We already slapped names up on our buildings to separate us. Fortunately, the modern church right now is not doing as much arguing over that as the churches of the 1800s were. But still, it's out there. So what does Jesus want us to do? He doesn't want us mad at each other. He doesn't want us arguing with each other. He doesn't want us dividing. He doesn't want us splitting the church. So what does He want us to do? Turn with me to Matthew 5, 43 through 48. Most of you recognize this as a Sermon on the Mount section. Matthew 5, 43. All right. It says here, you've heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, shoot your enemies, kill your enemies, destroy your enemies, wipe your enemies off the face of the planet, conquer them, lord yourself over them, destroy them in any way you can, right? Now, what he says here is, love your enemies. Now, it doesn't mean we're going to sit there and just, like if Russia decided to attack the United States, they decided Ukraine wasn't enough for them, they decided to come on over here and started doing something, that doesn't mean that the United States doesn't have a right to defend itself. But it's motivation, attitude, those type things. So he says, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. Verse, continue on, that you, he causes the sun to rise on the evil and good and sends rain on the righteous and unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your Heavenly Father is perfect. We've been called to love even our enemies. We've already been told, love one another, but even love your enemies. How can we love people that are attacking other people right now? How can we love them? I'm not saying I got the answers, people. I know what my master tells me to do. I'm just like Dad told me to be in before the light came on the pole. You know, I understand what the requirement is. Did I always achieve what I was supposed to do? Well, after the first or second time, my batting record got a lot better. Okay? So, Dad was serious about things like that. I'm not saying we're going to get it right all the time, but make sure you're trying. Love your enemies. And we don't have to look overseas for an enemy. Some of you got them right in your workforce. Some of you got them right in your neighborhood. Some of you even got them in your family members. Okay? We are to love our enemies. Going on here, turn to the book of, where am I at here? Luke chapter 6, verse 27. Again, Luke chapter 6, verse 27. But I tell you who hear me, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. Now, you talk about my mama. You talk about my mama. What's going to happen? Hair is going to rise up on the back of my neck. I'm going to size you up. If I think I can take you, we're going to get it on. If I don't think I'll take you, I'm going to go get a tire. Okay? I got to get an equalizer. We're going to do something. That's supposed to be the old Ron. What's the new Ron supposed to do? Yeah. We're supposed to love even those who curse us, who put us down, who hurt others that we love. We're supposed to love them, pray for them, do good to them. Is that a challenge? It is for me. If one of you said something that really hurt Carol, it's going to rip my heart. It's going to rip my heart. And I don't know how I can handle that. But I'm not supposed to seek you harm, but I am supposed to love you. Jesus wants us to love one another. Look at verses 35 to 36 of Luke chapter 6. But love your enemies, do good to them, lend them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great. You'll be sons of the Most High, because He is kind, and He is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. When you extend love to your enemies, who are you acting like? Like the Father. If you extend hatred and animosity toward them, who are you acting like? The devil. So, which side do you want to be found on when Jesus returns? I know where I want to be found. So I got to work at this, don't I? What is the gold standard for love in the Bible? What's the gold standard? You know, can't do any better than this. What's the gold standard? For me, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Greater love hath no man than this, than he lay down his life for his friends. That's the gold standard to me. Jesus Christ and what God did. We are to make sure that we are loving each other and loving our enemies. Now, if you're not sure what love is, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If you've been to any of the weddings that I do, I usually have this verse out. But let me tell you something. Before I share this verse at a wedding, the couple that I'm talking to and gone through counseling with, we've gone through this more in depth. I just don't read it. Okay? But I don't have time to go into it in depth here. But listen to what love truly is as we read through this. Paul says, if I speak in tongues, languages of men and of angels, if I can do that, but I have not love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. I appreciate those who sing on key, sing with rhythm, sing when you're supposed to, everything's supposed to work. It sounds so much better. Most of the time when I sing, I don't usually get an invitation back. Okay, there's a reason for that. It's just, I am not the standard when it comes to singing. Yes, I can hit most of the notes, and it sounds great in the shower because it always sounds like applause. In the shower. Okay? But he says here, if I can speak in some unknown tongue or can suddenly start speaking some language, man, that's great. But if I don't have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy and can fathom mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but I have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, that would be persecution, that type of thing. But have not love, I don't gain anything. Then he says, love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It's not proud. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrong. It's not rude. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Now, wives, pay attention to this part again. It keeps no record of wrongs. Okay? I hope everybody's catching a little bit of levity there. Okay? Everybody should keep no record of wrongs. That doesn't mean you let them do it to you again, over and over again, and hurt somebody. It just means you're not going to hold it against them. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in truth. With the truth, it always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. Paul says, when I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man. When you think of that, one of them comes running in and says to you, you got two kids. One of them comes running in. Janie hit me. And you turn to Janie, why'd you hit him? He hit me first. That's how children think, right? We're supposed to tell them to do what? You don't hit back. You don't respond in kind. And again, it's a challenge. Now we see a poor perfection as in a mirror, but we will see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I fully known. And this is the part I wanted to get to. These three remain. How many of you want the greatest faith of anybody's ever had? How many wants to experience the greatest hope in the world? Those are certainly great aspirations, aren't they? But which one of the faith, hope, and love, which does he say is the greatest? Now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. So, what the world needs now is not just for some, but for everyone. What the world needs now is love. Put a little love in your heart, and you will see how much you can change your life, the lives of those around you, and the lives of those you come in contact with day to day. Put a little love in your heart. Don't hate your neighbor. Don't cheat a friend. Don't do it in the name of heaven. You won't be justified in the end. Just continue to put a little love in your heart, and God will reward you. I wanted to share this message today because I need this. I needed this. I am tired and I'm hurting. A world that I love for so many years is being broken down by hatred. But I also wanted to point out, by looking back at the 60s and 70s, this is nothing new. And if God allows us to live and be on this planet for another 100 years, we'll have more and more of these episodes. It's going to keep coming. It's going to keep coming. But in the meantime, Christians are not to lose hope. We're to keep our faith and always abound in love. Now, in order to truly help our Lord make disciples, you need to become a disciple. I've tried to tell you the way I see the scriptures unfolding, and I freely admit to you, I could bring ministers in here from other denominations, I could bring them in here from different groups, and they would probably teach you a little different than I'm going to say it right now. And that will be debated until the Lord returns. All I can tell you is what I understand the scriptures to say, and that is you need to believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Repent of your sins and submit to being baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins, the gift of the Holy Spirit. We will immerse you in water. You'll be buried with Jesus. You'll be raised with Jesus. The old person of sin will have died. The new person in Christ will be raised. Make that decision if you need to. But don't come and stop there. Make sure you're committed to making Him Lord of your life and following Him the rest of the days of your life. Make that decision. If you're already an immersed believer, many of us are, and sin has weighed us down and grabbed a hold of us again, then repent of it. God, I am sorry. I'm a Christian. I'm not supposed to be doing that. I'm sorry. Repent of it. And tell Him and ask Him for forgiveness. If you need our prayer support, come. And we'll pray with you about the matter. If you're an immersed believer, but you haven't joined the fellowship here, say, hey, I come as one who believes in Jesus, and as a believer, I was immersed into Jesus. As a believer, I am now ready to say, this is the church where I want to serve. I want to be a part of this fellowship. Just consider that. Place your fellowship. That way the elders here know who they are to shepherd without any question. And for the rest of us, in light of what God has revealed to us through the Word, let's make disciples. Let's make disciples for the Master.